you would, this morning to the book of Philippians and to the third chapter. In your New Testaments, the book of Philippians and the chapter number 3. We must always understand that the church is not a business, it is a ministry. There's a tremendous difference between the two. You try to grow a business and that your main goal is to make it bigger. But in a ministry such as the church, I don't find that our main goal is to make the church bigger, but to make it more mature. To allow it to grow within, not necessarily initially growing without. Because of that, then we ought to be concerned about one another and helping one another to grow and to become more mature in Christ. And as you read the writings of Paul, you're going to find that he is concerned about the church and how it's doing and how it's growing. And if he can't be there, he'll send Timothy there, or Epaphroditus there, or someone else there that can minister to the needs of the church. Now, the message that I'm preaching then to you this morning is on mentorship and how the church ought to be mentoring one another. And that can be in a duplicity of ways, meaning you might be mentoring someone but have someone else mentoring you. Meaning there's someone in the church that can help you with your walk with the Lord, maybe help you with being accountable in a certain area of your life. But at the same time, you might be helping someone else with their walk of the Lord, with their walk with the Lord, and with accountability somewhere in their life. And so again, it's not that we feel like we've arrived and everyone is under us. No, we ought to all be ministering to one another. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the necessity of mentoring the church. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Christ, who is the rightful head of this church. And we recognize that everything is to be done for His honor and glory. That throughout the ages to come, this church is to be glorifying Him and the way we conduct our ministry here. And so I pray, Father, that you would help us to align our lives within the truths of your word. And Father, help us not to be a church about programs, but a church about relationship. Father, programs can be good and have their place, but Father, overly emphasized can have its detriment. And so I pray that we would see how we as a body are to function together in helping one another to grow. Guide in the time that we have together. May we walk away from here considering the truths of your word and how they can be applied to our daily lives, the way we think and the way we conduct ourselves. Draw the lost to yourself in the midst of preaching to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I kind of want to show you what brought me to the place where I would preach on verses 15 to 17, but primarily really verse number 17 today. And so I want to start in verse number 10, and I just want to read some excerpts from some verses here. And I want you to notice with me the pronoun changes that are going to take place. Notice what he says in verse 10, that I may know him. Look at verse number 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse number 12, not as though I already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So again, it's the focus is on Paul. And in fact, he goes on to say in verse 13, this one thing I do. Verse 14, I press toward the mark. So as you look at what these opening verses entail, really beginning back in verse number 1 and all the way through verse number 14, is Paul's personal relationship with the Lord and got to where he is today and recognizing really where he is today. I haven't apprehended. I'm still pressing forward. I'm still reaching. But then notice the change beginning in verse 15. The beginning of verse 15, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And again, he's talking about this area of maturity. So Paul doesn't want to be the supreme with everyone under him. He said, no, let us all be this way. Anyone who's come to the point of spiritual growth and maturity. In fact, look at the end of verse number 16. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. And so Paul didn't want there to be this spiritual hierarchy. He wanted there to be a spiritual unity. He didn't want everybody focusing on him and saying, look at what I'm doing and look at where I've arrived. But he wanted them all to be growing and becoming more mature. In fact, if you would, the book of Colossians is just after Philippians. And notice just one verse out of the first chapter, verse 28. So you probably have to turn maybe one page in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse number 28. By the way, this is a really intriguing thing. When Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, this is actually a church that he started and a church that he developed a long-term relationship with. They continued to support him in his ministry. But in church of Colossae is a church he's never been to. But you know, as you read it, there's a similar letter. And as you read it, there's a similar desire that everyone in the church would become more like Christ. In fact, look at verse number 28. Whom we preach, look at this, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that, here's the reason, we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So again, Paul's desire was that the church would help itself to grow. That we would find someone to either mentor us, or that we can mentor, or both. Someone we can mentor, but someone that could help take us to the next level in our own Christian lives. In fact, in the book of Philippians, or in the book of Ephesians, he would write in the fourth chapter, the whole body fitly joined together, that which every joint supplieth, meaning every part of this body, like a building, has a purpose and a place, maketh increase of itself unto the edifying of itself in love. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. So he says, I want the body to become more mature by the body mentoring and loving itself. You know, what the body thinks of itself is a very important thing. And us understanding our purpose as we meet is a really important thing. In Hebrews chapter 10, without turning there, it says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But what are we to be doing? We are to be exhorting one another. We are to be provoking one another unto love and good works. We are to be considering one another. The word consider actually has the idea of kind of looking into the eye of and evaluating. As you go to a doctor, you trust that there will be some type of an evaluation of your current condition. And sometimes by merely looking at your body physically, they can begin to determine some of the ailments that you may be struggling with. Well, as Christians, we are to be mentoring ourselves. We are to be ministering to ourselves. We are to be helping each other to grow that we might present everyone perfect in Christ. I want us to look at two things today. First of all, how you should have the mindset of wanting to be more mature. You should have this mindset. This is what Paul is talking about really in verses 15 and 16. When he's talking about let every one of us. He's saying we all ought to have this mindset that we all ought to be wanting to reach this place of maturity. Look at verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Again, he's not saying that I've reached this state of sinlessness. But he's saying we're coming to the state of maturity. We've been saved for a while now. We ought to be more mature than when we were first babes in Christ. We ought to be now desiring the meat of the Word and not simply the milk of the Word. We ought not to be needing to hear the first principles again. But we are growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These are all things that Peter wrote to some of his former congregation. He said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. So it's a mindset. That's why I use that in the point. And if anything be otherwise minded, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know, I got thinking about what would it be like to have Paul as your mentor? I mean, wow, this would be an awesome experience. Here is a man who once persecuted the church and now he's leading the church. Here is a man who God saved on that road to Damascus and who God has raised up to be a church planter. And wow, what an opportunity Timothy and Titus and others have had to travel with him and to listen to him preach and to see how he handled people. In fact, as he calls the church of the elders of Miletus to him in Acts chapter 20, he says, you know what manner of man I've been among you. He says, night and day with tears, he said publicly and from house to house. And you think, wow, what an opportunity. But I think that others might say, that's a bit of a strict life for me. Boy, that's a bit narrow. I mean, aren't we in the age of grace? Can't we do whatever we want? Man, Paul's really living even beyond the letter of the law. He's preaching grace, but I mean, he's really limiting what he does just for his testimony. Say, I mean, he can't do anything because he's always concerned about somebody might be watching. And so I think what an opportunity to be mentored by Paul, but at the same time, somebody might be saying, wow, I don't know that I want to go that far with my Christian life. Let me ask you, as you break it down, how far do you want to go? How much like Christ do you want to become? What is your mindset right now? I mean, do you just want to be saved and on your way to heaven so that if anybody asks you, hey, I know I'm going to heaven, but kind of doing whatever you want to do and enjoying what life the way you want to enjoy it? Or do you want to glorify God with your life? Do you want to make sure that everything that you're doing is pointing people to Christ and at least not deterring them from coming to Christ? I remember going out in visitation with someone. They had been saved just a couple of years and they were excited about doing door-to-door. And I was out with the gentleman and he said, Pastor, do you think I should quit wearing earrings when I do visitation? He said, because the last person, I was trying to talk to them about Christ and they were focused on why am I wearing earrings as a Christian? And you know, God began to work in his heart and began to question himself, is this really the best for my testimony? It was something he liked. It was something that dressed him up. I don't know. But he came to this realization, it wasn't about him, it was about the Lord. And he said, if me wearing earrings, and he was just openly talking to me as we go to the next door. He says, if me wearing earrings get in the way of someone coming to Christ, then I shouldn't wear earrings. Again, what was that guy? He was coming to this conclusion as I'm walking with him. It's kind of interesting just hearing him talk. He's coming to this conclusion. It isn't about me, it's about him. So let me ask you, what's your mindset? How far do you want to go with this Christianity? How far do you want to go? How deep do you want to get with this relationship? How close do you want to draw nigh to God? How much do you want to become like His Son? Paul's hoping that everyone would be thus minded. And if we're anywhere other-minded, otherwise minded, look what he says at the end of verse number 15. God shall reveal even this unto you. And in fact, are you that willing to be open with God and say, Lord, I need to be mentored. I need to grow. Would you show me if there's anything in my life that isn't giving others the right perspective of what you're like. Remember what Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John said later, we walked with him, we listened to him, we touched him, our hands handled him, we heard him preach, and this is the conclusion we came to, that God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. How did they come to that conclusion about God? Well, they lived with his Son, who was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so what we ought to say is, Lord, is there anything in my life that isn't appropriate to represent you? I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I am to rightly be representing you. So is there something in my music that I'm listening to? Is there something in my dress that I'm wearing? Is there something in my movie collection that I'm watching? Is there something in my language? Again, maybe, Father, you should send someone along my way to mentor me. Because Paul was all about the mentoring relationship of Christianity. Look at verse number 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk. He says, don't take into account or consideration how far we've already grown. Let us look forward and let us walk by the same rule. And let us mind the same thing. And what is he basically saying? Let's become unified. Let's really see the importance, all of us, in putting God first in our lives and trying to think the way that God would want us to think. Again, Paul was all about the mentoring relationship, and so was Christ. I won't take us to the verses, but one of the verses that impacted me about 8-10 years ago was Mark 3:14, where it says he ordained 12 that they should be with him. Well, that's a really interesting way of saying it. He called out 12, and the reason he called them out is so that they would spend time with him. And he says over in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, that it went everywhere where he was preaching in the towns and villages. They were watching him preach. They were watching him handle people. They were learning from him how to handle persecution, how to handle rejection, how to handle apostasy, how to handle people. So he says, I ordained 12 that they should be with me. And he says in another passage, he says that the servant should be as their Lord. This idea of trying to become like them. And so even the Apostle Paul, when he talks about it, he brought them men under him and under the umbrella, so to speak, of his ministry. Why? So that they would be with him. And again, when I go back to the elders of Miletus, he said, you know what I was like when I was with you? You know how night and day I was spending in tears, trying to reach people for Christ? You know we were ministering publicly and house to house? He was doing that to mentor them. So let me ask you, in this type of a body, in this functioning, we're to be trying to present every man perfect in Christ. We ought to be either mentoring or being mentored. We ought to be somewhere in the scope of what God is trying to achieve in the body, that the whole body is compacted and fitly joined together, and every joint supplying the need of the other, that we might minister to ourselves or edify ourselves in love. You know, we shouldn't need another ministry to come in to correct our problems. We ought to be able to consider one another, provoke one another to good love and good works, exhort one another, edify one another, love one another. I'm looking forward. We have a family conference coming up. In just about 7 weeks, I think, from today. Maybe it's 6 or 7 weeks from today it starts. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to hearing a guest speaker and allowing you that opportunity to hear a different voice and preaching the truth to us. But by and large, this ministry ought to support itself. And this ministry then ought to grow from the inside out. What am I saying there? Not just trying to bring people in and trying to make us bigger, but trying to develop us from the inside and make us stronger, more mature in Christ. So first of all, we ought to have that mindset of wanting to be more mature. And let me ask you, do you have that mindset? Do you want to become more like Christ? Do you want to walk closer to the Lord? Do you want to have a deeper relationship with Him? Do you want to know Him more intimately? Do you have that mindset? If not, say, Lord, would you reveal that to me? Just similar to what it says in verse number 15. Even God can reveal that to you, and He'll do that through your spirit, through His Spirit. By the way, if you're not a child of God, man, the most important decision you can make in life is to trust in Him completely for your salvation and for your soul's eternal destiny. God has given everything, including His Son, that you can become one of His children. But it's only by faith, by trusting in God alone, can you enter into that personal relationship with Him. Once God alone has brought you into the family, then we ought to be treating one another as a family. We ought to be ministering to one another's needs. So then look at the second point. You should then have the mindset of wanting to be a mentor. I don't know about that. I don't know that I'm ready for that. Well, then get ready. By the way, are we all and ever ready? I remember talking to someone years ago. He said, Pastor, I'm not going to start going out on visitation until I feel like I'm ready to talk to people about the Lord, memorize all the verses. Do you know they never got ready? You know, it's one of those things you need to just start doing. Pastor Terry shared the last couple of Sunday nights some very practical ways in which to do that. And he talked about how he was taken out and basically mentored. And taken out and going around door to door. And so you can talk to Pastor Terry, you can talk to myself, you can talk to Karen or Beth or one of the ladies, and they'd be glad to take you along with them on visitation and mentor you in that important aspect of the ministry. Well, you know, as I was reading this, I was reading some of the commenters to the great book of Philippians, I found some thought Paul to be really arrogant. Would you look at me in verse number 17 where they thought he was really arrogant? Or he says in the opening, brethren, be followers together of me. So basically what Paul said, hey, why don't you all follow me? This took me back in my mind to Jim and Terry Braceland, our missionaries to the deaf. And I remember Brother Jim talking, and he was communicating with some of his deaf, and he wanted to lead them. They were going as a church group, and he wanted to take them. And he says, what I want you to do, he says, I want you to follow me, and I'll take you there. And they said, well, we don't know where we're going. He goes, I know, follow me, and we'll take you there. And they said, well, wait, Pastor, we don't know where we're going. How are we to take you there? And he goes, no, you follow me. Well, what he was doing is using the sign to lead me. And as a deaf, they were confused. How can we lead you when we don't know where we're going? The sign for follow, am I correct? Yeah, follow, yeah. I look over to our experts on the panel over here. And they were to follow, and he's using the wrong sign. Well, you know, as we get here, some are confused by what Paul is saying here. Would you just take a moment and look at the context? Look at verse 9. Let's see if we determine that Paul is a really an arrogant person. Look at verse number 8, partway through the verse. I've suffered the loss of all things, the end of the verse, that I may win Christ. Look at verse 12. Not as though I already attained, either were already perfect. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Does he sound like a really arrogant guy? Just read the context. He said, I haven't reached what I ought to be. I haven't become perfect. But what Paul is saying, I don't need to be perfect to mentor. I just need to be pressing toward the mark. I just need to be desiring to know the Lord, and maybe I can help someone else in that journey. Also read, look at the verse itself, look at verse number 17. Again, they're taking the beginning part of the verse, but look at the verse. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And the word mark means to gaze on with interest and with desire. So he's not saying, everybody look at me. He says, in fact, look around you. And see if there's someone that is mature in their Christian walk that might be able to help you. And so there ought to be people in this body saying, you know what, God has led me and I'm not perfect. I still struggle in the Christian life and I'm still wanting to be more like Christ than I am, but I'm willing to help someone with what I've already learned. And you know, we actually need people with that mindset in the body here. We need some older ladies to take our younger ladies, as Titus would talk about in the second chapter, and show them how to be a loving mother and how to be a loving wife. That's what Paul says to Titus. Have your older ladies teach that to your younger ladies. And by the way, some of your younger ladies can teach some of the ladies that are younger yet than you are. Teach some of our young ladies, teach some of our young people that have yet to even graduate from school and to kind of take them under wing and begin to show them. But he doesn't just stop with the ladies and he says, amen, it's the same for you. Some of our older men can teach us much. And some of our young men can teach our younger men. And again, this idea, I'm willing to be a mentor, that others might come to know Christ better. That I may help them to avoid some of the pitfalls of my own life. I may help to learn how to get out of this sin and get into serving the Lord in righteousness. You know, Paul started by growing himself, but now he's wanting to help others to grow. I put on my sermons every Sunday, and I've mentioned this several times throughout the ministry here of almost 21, 22 years. How long have I been here? Almost 22 years. I'm getting old, honey. How are you staying so young? Never sure to preach again. Or preach is never sure to preach again as a dying man to dying men. The reality, I don't know, this could be my last service. That's no major announcement, by the way. Some of you are saying, I don't know, it might be your last service. So I don't feel like I should ever come up here and just shoot off the cuff without studying, without giving much time. Because it could be my last opportunity, or it could be yours. I had that on my sermons for years, and then I realized I started loving preaching more than I loved the people. And so I put a secondary comment on my sheet, and again, I have it on my sheet here this morning. Do I love to preach, or do I love the people? Because the reality is I get up here week after week not because I love to preach, but because I love you all. And the reality of it is if we all love each other, we ought to be wanting to help each other to grow. And you might think, I don't have much to offer. You probably have more to offer than you realize. You might not know all the books of the Bible in order, and you might not be able to tell us what the 12 disciples' names are, and you might not be able to tell us certain people and what they did and their function, or you might not be able to explain all the doctrines of justification and sanctification and all of that. But you still have something to teach us in Christ. And what we all ought to desire is to take someone under wing and try to help them to walk in the Christian life. Maybe you hear announced that someone has a need. Maybe that's somebody you can run to and help. Paul says, you know what? We try to live our lives for others. In fact, it really hit me. I was reading some of the verses in Thessalonians. I'll just read them to you for the sake of time. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Paul said, you know, we were really guarding what we did. We were guarding how we talked. We were guarding what we wore. We were guarding where we went because we wanted to take you into consideration. He said, we were gentle among you. He goes on later to say, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Paul says, you know what? I really guarded how I live because I wanted to help you. And so having this secondary mindset, the first mindset is I just want to become more mature and maybe somebody can mentor me. And even on the way out today, you could talk to one of us in leadership and say, hey, you know that mentoring you're talking about? I'd really like somebody to mentor me. If you'd have somebody to suggest to mentor me, let me know. And would you pray for me? I want to be mentored. Share that with us. We can maybe help get you under someone, help somebody to mentor you. But there ought to be also some leaving today and say, you know what? I really ought to be mentoring somebody. How many years I've been saved and I've never taken anyone under wing, or it's been years since I've taken someone under my wing and helped to show them how to walk in Christ. Dear friends, we want to present everyone perfect in Christ. And Paul's goal right here is let's be all thus minded. And if we have any other kind of mindset, may the Lord reveal that to us. Listen to what Christ said in John 13. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Christ lived this life. Christ came knowing, hey, I'm trying to set a pattern. I'm trying to be an example. I'm trying to lead by example. I want to be like Christ. I want to walk away, as Paul wrote to Timothy, that we are to be an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in faith, in charity, in purity. He goes on. Paul says, man, Timothy, you're to be an example of the believer. And dear friend, some of us ought to be considering this second point. Wow. I want to be a mentor for Christ. I want to help influence the lives of others so that as a church body, we don't just get big, but we become mature. A good friend of mine is actually my dorm supervisor when I was in Bible college. So there's a lot of difference between a church becoming mature and a church becoming big. He says a lot of times when a church becomes big, I just refer to it as swelling, because eventually it goes away. Why? Because they come and they find there's nothing inside. It's empty once they get there. They're just merely being entertained. But there's no real growth and depth and relationship. We just go there and become entertained. Let us not seek for entertainment, but let us seek for Christ-likeness. Let us either have the mindset of I want to mature, or the mindset of I want to mentor, so that we can present all perfect in Christ. Let's pray.